Hello, I'm Darrell Root. Welcome to News Folder 19, the podcast for the politically independent and or moderate. Please don't forget to subscribe on whatever format you are listening to this, whether that be Spotify, iHeart, my Buzzsprout site, or YouTube, and many others. This is episode number 147. News story 147.1. U.S. consumer sentiment sagged to a six-month low in May. The larger-than-expected drop in sentiment reported by the University of Michigan spanned all age, income, and education groups. Even political party affiliation didn't matter. Consumers' main concerns were inflation and unemployment. Personally, I have to wonder about this latest report, as it's expected to be the most traveled Memorial Day weekend ever coming up, including before COVID. The university's preliminary reading on the overall index of consumer sentiment came in at 67.4 this month, the lowest level since last November. That compares to a final reading of 77.2 in April, just 1 month prior. Economists polled by Reuters had forecast a preliminary reading of 76. They estimated that the ongoing transition to web-based interviews as opposed to telephone surveys may be responsible for at least 2 percentage points of the 10 percentage point drop. Economic growth slowed in the first quarter, and employers hired the fewest number of workers in 6 months. In addition, inflation remains higher than a lot of today's generations can remember. Year-on-year inflation last month rose to 3.5% from 3.2% the month before that. With vacation season right around the corner, gas prices could also rise, so I'm not seeing inflation getting down below 3%, which they want. Interest rates remain high as the Fed left interest rates in the 5.25% to 5.5% range, with even higher at your local bank. If you remember from a podcast I did earlier in the year, I don't believe the Fed will be lowering rates anytime soon, if at all this year. While many experts expect rates to drop around September, some others are skeptical as inflation remains way above the Fed's 2% target. According to Conrad De Quadros, a senior advisor at Breen Capital, quote, "The Fed is unlikely to cut rates absent the onset of recession unless inflation is clearly headed sustainably to 2%. As I said, I don't see that happening this year. That's my prediction. Please consider buying me a cup of coffee or supporting the show at newsfolder19.com/support. There you will find a set of links to support the podcast, be it merchandise, a one-time donation, or otherwise. I thank you in advance. News story number 147.2. TikTok will begin labeling content created via artificial intelligence when that content has been uploaded from an outside source other than its own. I do not use or watch TikTok videos, so maybe someone can tell me just how much of their content actually comes from outside sources. I would suspect, based on what little I have seen of TikTok, that most of the content comes from within. Correct me, though, if I'm wrong. TikTok says its efforts are an attempt to combat misinformation from being spread on its social media platform. Quote, AI enables incredible creative opportunities, but can confuse or mislead viewers if they don't know content was AI generated, unquote, the company said in a statement last week. Labeling is a good thing. For those too young to remember actual porno magazines. They often contain comic strips showing politicians and celebrities and compromising sexual or otherwise politically incorrect situations. Because some people had no sense of sarcasm or realism, the magazines were required to use the phrase, quote, for parody purposes only, unquote. Turns out with today's access to just about everything, most of those parodies are probably closer to the truth than what they weren't, but I digress. The move is part of an overall effort by those in technology, including Facebook and Google, to provide more safeguards, voluntarily or not, for AI usage. For the record, you will not see AI labels on my YouTube or Buzzsprout-based podcast, as I do not use AI. The push for digital watermarking and labeling of AI-generated content was also part of an executive order that U.S. President Joe Biden signed in October. So yes, Mr. Alzheimer is capable of something worthwhile, or should I say whoever is actually running the country. The company said that the technology can attach metadata to content, which it can use to instantly recognize and label AI-generated content. That, of course, assumes creators haven't removed the metadata from such content. And yes, that is possible. TikTok said its use of the capability has already started on images and videos and will be coming to audio-only content soon. One has to wonder if this is in hopes of canceling out the TikTok potential ban, which, in my opinion, TikTok should win when it gets to court, assuming our justices have any common sense. News story number 147.3. Major U.S. airlines are suing the U.S. Transportation Department over a new rule requiring upfront disclosure of airline fees, the latest clash between air carriers and the Biden administration. American, Delta, United, JetBlue, Hawaiian, and Alaska Airlines filed suit against the Transportation Department, according to a copy of the suit seen by Reuters. The Transportation Department issued final rules last month requiring airlines and ticket agents to disclose service fees alongside the airfare, saying it would help consumers avoid unneeded or unexpected fees. The airline group, however, said in a statement that the department's rule would confuse consumers and that its attempt to regulate private business operations in a thriving marketplace is beyond its authority. Well, excuse me, airlines, but how is making the total cost to be revealed up front confusing? I've lost count of how many times I've backed out of a purchase online, regardless of industry, because of hidden fees not showing up until checkout. What are you trying to hide? Perhaps the fact that you're a bunch of crooks? I haven't flown since 2018 when I went to Hawaii, and I only flew then because you can't get there by land. Your seats are too small, support pets and brat kids get to fly, the food is overpriced, your industry sucks, yet you still want to hide your fees. The agency claims consumers are overpaying $543 million in fees annually, and airlines are getting that additional revenue from consumers who are surprised by fees that weren't made obvious when booking a flight. Personally, I would consider surprise fees to be a form of fraud as opposed to overpayment, assuming a person of average mental capacity could have easily missed them. The U.S. Department of Transportation's new rules include fees for baggage or flight changes must be disclosed the first time that fare and schedule information is provided, not later via hyperlink, which many people may miss. It also prohibits airlines from advertising promotional discounts off a low base fare that does not include all mandatory carrier-imposed fees. It requires airlines to inform consumers that seats are guaranteed and that they are not required to pay extra to save seats. Airlines must provide the following notice. Quote, a seat is included in your fare. You are not required to purchase a seat assignment to travel. I mean, that one should be obvious, but there are many other hidden fees that they should make obvious. The airlines have not challenged a separate rule finalized last month that would require automatic cash refunds for canceled flights when passengers choose not to take a new flight, and that is a good law. For the record, Southwest Airlines, which expressed support for the provisions, did not join the lawsuit. For those of you listening to the all-in-one episode, I'll be back shortly.
Only 15% of podcasters will ever earn a single penny in profit. Yet more continue to record for one reason. They enjoy informing and entertaining. If you'd like to support this show, visit newsfolder19.com and click on the Buy Me a Coffee or merchandise links. All donations are greatly appreciated. Now, back to the show.
Welcome back to News Folder 19. Just want to do my usual shout-outs to Dan Heim, who provides the music for the full-length show, and also to Susan Kennedy, who does the voiceovers for the show. Please support the sponsor at CampRidger.net. They're a provider of seasonings for cooking. They have four great seasonings, all come in one-cup containers, and are also salt-free, so you can salt to taste, and they're only $7 per when you buy four or more. That's CampRidger.net. News story 147.4. Brilliant, a maker of smart home controllers and smart light switches, is out of money. The company confirmed in an exclusive interview with The Verge that the company has laid off the majority of its staff, shut down its support center, and is no longer selling its products. However, the company is maintaining its servers and existing devices are continuing to operate in customers' homes for now. How long that will last, a company CEO could not answer. For those not familiar, which included me, Brilliant makes, or did make, wired smart light switches that could control your existing lights and other connected devices through its touchscreen panel. These include Philips Hue smart bulbs, Sonos smart speakers, Ring video doorbells, Sage locks, and Nest thermostats, to name a few. The smart home control panels also had Amazon's Alexa voice assistant built in and a camera and microphone that work as an in-home intercom system. How much do these devices cost? The company's home control panel started at $399 and went up to $549 per switch. With a relatively limited list of integrations, Brilliant just wasn't attracting enough new customers to its hardware. You think? $500 for a glorified light switch? Unless you're disabled and absolutely need one, that's just insane. Here's a solution for about $25. Buy a regular light switch with a built-in timer. Why does anyone need a light switch that controls speakers, doorbells, locks, and everything else? Anything that operates via Wi-Fi can be hacked from outside the home. Brilliant users began noticing something was up late last week. One user, claiming to be a Brilliant reseller installer, posted that they couldn't connect with the company. In addition, all of its products are completely out of stock on its online store and on Amazon. A person on YouTube stated that customer support was impossible to get a hold of. Even if a buyer of the company is found, there's no guarantee they will keep the lights on. And if Brilliant servers go dark, anyone who has one of these smart switches wired into their walls will lose a significant amount of functionality. About all they will do is turn your lights off and on by hand. Listeners, this can happen to any tech company. Even if a tech company survives, support usually ends within a few years because the tech gets outdated. Save your money. Unless you're rich, you don't need a $500 light switch that won't work in 4 to 5 years. Last but not least for this week's news, news story number 147.5. Pets are part of our families. That's how 97% of pet owners in the U.S. feel about their pets. A majority of Americans, 62%, own at least one pet. We consider them our companions and our friends, showing up the door with wagging tails or snuggling in our lap with a deep purr. For many of us, we treat them better than we do our human companions. Our pets, however, also need health care. Sad to say, as pet ownership numbers skyrocketed across the U.S. when COVID kept us in our homes, the number of veterinarians tending to them has lagged behind as well. Advocates fear there soon won't be enough veterinary doctors to give our pets vaccines, mend their injuries, treat their illnesses, and even help us say goodbye when the time comes. Quote, "We know there's a shortage, and it's worsening," said Barbara Hodges, a veterinarian and director of advocacy and outreach for the Humane Society of the United States. According to a report by Mars Veterinary Health, the U.S. will need as many as 55,000 additional veterinarians by 2030 to meet the increasing need for animal health care. Mars estimates that by that time, there will be a shortage of as many as 24,000 veterinarians, even accounting for students who will become vets over the next decade. For the record, spending on pets' health care is expected to increase 3 to 4 percentage points past the rate of inflation over the next decade. Long story short, more people own pets than ever before, while the number of veterinarians is holding steady, meaning vets are seeing more animals and are busier than ever. Hence, supply and demand will be indicative of higher prices to come. As with human doctors and nurses, veterinarians have to work longer hours and/or see more patients. As a result, some are leaving the profession, changing how they work, or shifting to part-time work. Another issue, becoming a vet takes time, 4 years of undergraduate education, and an additional 4 years of veterinary school. Veterinarian care has also become more specialized, so there aren't as many general practice vets. So why bring you this story? Simple. Pet ownership is a responsibility, and it's getting more expensive. If you're cramped for funds, but still considering a pet purchase, reconsider. If you can't afford what it's going to cost, do the animal a favor. Let someone else adopt it. Sad to say, love isn't always enough. Sometimes it takes money. Thank you for listening. You know the mantra, question authority and always be free.
Thank you for listening to News Folder 19. All rights are reserved and unauthorized use is prohibited. However, you may share the podcast links. Till next time, have a great day.